message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Have the opportunity to speak the word of the Lord, to share it, and to sow it richly into your lives. And so we want to welcome you, of course, to worshiping with us. We've already had this beautiful time of worship this morning, and we've worshiped the Lord in our giving as well. And now we're going to worship the Lord in our reading of the word, and then our explanation of the word, as well as the application of the word as it is to sow into our life and in our walk. I want you to stand and please read with me aloud. We're going to look at two passages here. One is from John and the other is from Matthew. And these are these two passages that will kind of help us lay some context of where we are at. The first comes to us out of the Gospel of Matthew, and it is in reference to when Jesus was revealing himself as the bread of life. And we're not going to cover what that means today for the scope of today's teaching, but we are going to cover the text of what happens after he shares this revelation of Jesus being the bread of life. And it reads as follows: "After this, a lot of his disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. Then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. 'Do you also want to leave?' Peter replied, 'Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God.'" Then there's another passage here that we're going to look at, and it is another observation Peter has by revelation of the Spirit. And it comes to us in another gospel reading as follows: "When Jesus arrived in the villages of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'What are people saying about who the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some think he is John the Baptizer, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets.' And he pressed them, 'How about you? Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter said, 'You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God.' Jesus came back, 'God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are.'" I want to open today's teaching as a continuation of our series, Embracing the Holy Spirit. We started this journey in this teaching series of Embracing the Holy Spirit, speaking about where we in this body of Christ and in the family of faith that is tied to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior are struggling with what I am calling snapshot Christianity, snapshot God, snapshot Jesus. And what I mean by that more specifically is, the more I encounter people who claim to have an affiliation with Jesus Christ, whether it be through a denomination or it be through a personal walk that is not affiliated with a denomination, they have a version of Jesus that is not consistent with another person's version of Jesus or of the Word or of God. And I challenged us to consider what or who is the missing ingredient in our walk today that brings the entire story, the entire narrative of Scripture, the entire revelation of God the Father and God the Son into a larger scope and understanding. And it can't be in a snapshot form. And therefore, the conclusion we come to is it must be by the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the fullness of His Word, the fullness of the Father, and the fullness of the Son, and how that fullness helps us walk and live in the fullness of this great faith we have in Jesus Christ. And then last week, we looked a little bit more closely as we continued our study of embracing the Holy Spirit by asking the question, O promise, where art thou? We all have promises that are not only read to us in Scripture, but we have been led by the Spirit to embrace a life in which God has a promised plan for you, a purpose, a destiny, and we are to walk in the promise, and that promise is to be tied to His Word. But many of us get tired of walking in the promise or holding on to the promise because of the twists and turns of life. And so some of us can give up before we ever inherit the promise. And we started to look last week at the life of Peter. Now today we're continuing this teaching, and we're going to look at Peter a little more closely. The disciple turned apostle, then later one of the premier leaders of the early church that would burst out of Jerusalem and would evangelize both in that region of where the Lord had ministered, but also in the Babylon. And historically we read that he was also in Rome. But before we get there, today's teaching is titled, An Investment That Will Have Lasting Returns. An Investment That Will Have Lasting Returns. And I want to share a little story about your savvy investing pastor. It was about 15 years ago that Jeanette and I had only been married a few years at the time and had managed to save up a tidy sum of money. We both had, we were both in the ministry, we both were not getting paid well, and so we were having to live on a very tight budget. We had to save every little bit we had, and it was at that moment, after we had saved up this nice little sum of money, we were approached by another individual that we knew, we had a relationship with, but an individual that was an investment professional, and he presented us with an investment idea. Now, we weren't that wise, but we were wise enough to know this was a lot of money that we had saved up. We really couldn't risk losing it on a foolish investment. And so we began to do our due diligence. We actually asked people who were older than us, our parents. We asked others that were in a much better financial situation than us. And we even asked people that had invested in this same project that were good, sound business people. And after a lot of consideration, we did have some warnings, but we went on our best knowledge. I can't say we prayed about it, but we went on what we thought was our best knowledge, and we made a full investment. Now, the first year of that investment, we got a $4,000 return on that investment. I mean, that was almost half of what we had invested to begin with. And so right off the bat, we're like, this is already paying dividends. And also tied to this investment was the promise that every month for the next 3 to 4 years, we would get a check of at least $200 a month. And sure enough, every month for 3 years, we had a check of at least $200 a month. Now, what was tied to this investment was a contract. You could take your money out at any time. But the longer you kept your money in this investment, when you decided to take it out, you were guaranteed the majority of your initial investment back. And it matured after 4 years. And so we knew that we had invested this. We had gotten money along the years. We had made some money on the investment in the sense that we hadn't lost. We were making back. And then we knew that we were going to sell back out of the investment and get our initial investment back. So it almost could have been a chance to double our money just for having it tied up for 4 years. Well, don't you know that at the end of the third year, right before our note was getting ready to mature, the company went bankrupt and we lost the entire investment. Needless to say, it was an investment that backfired. Now, oddly enough, about 7 months ago, I got a check in the mail due to some class action suit that I was totally unaware of, but my name was on, as I was on an investment list, I suppose, and I received a check for $50.33. And it was the last little bit of what I was entitled to due to this investment. It was not the investment that delivered on the long-lasting promise of returns. But today we're going to talk about the investment that does have a long-lasting return. How many people here, show of hands, have some sort of an investment plan that you can contribute to? Perhaps it's Merrill Lynch, a bank, a local broker, a company you work for, or maybe it's the trustee underneath the mattress. But whatever your investment plan is, you make it with the expectation there is going to be some sort of lasting and pleasing return. Now, I've already established I'm not this financial guru, so don't come to me for advice. But I will pass on one little tidbit from my very wise parents who said to me, make sure you always have a sock put away just in case of an emergency. What they mean by that is you always have that extra little bit of money put away that you can't lose in the event of an emergency. And I would pass it on to you, especially in the day that we live in. The markets are so incredibly unstable, and it was just 5 years ago we were reading those tragic reports of people who were killing themselves over the financial crisis of 2010. So we need to be wise, especially of the day in which we live. But this is not a episode of CNBC's Money, Mad Money. This is just some good old-fashioned common sense. But I want to turn to that best investment that you can make that will have the guaranteed lasting returns. And to get that, I need to go, and we need to go, and you certainly need to go to the best financial planner you could ever have. And you know who it is? Jesus. Because Jesus warned us not to be those who invest in the things where the moth, the rust, and the robber can get at it. But store up your treasure in heaven. One Bible translator considers Jesus' words spoken to us from the Gospel of Matthew as, quote, a life of God worship that we are called to, that is bringing us back to the foundation of what Jesus preached in repentance and seeking first the kingdom, end quote. I'll simply state it as follows. Put God first and material things will be taken care of by God. It's really a basic principle that we see played out in Scripture time and time again. In fact, Jesus gives us several reasons why living for material things is the poorest of all investments. One of the worst investments you can make is in a car. Now, I know there are some of those real luxury, high-end cars that seem to hold their value better than others, but you never read about people who build their retirement portfolios by investing in cars. In fact, the vast majority of cars are the poorest investments for your financial deposits. And yet, year after year, the televisions are bombarded with the newest and greatest and best car for that year. Blogs will be written that will highlight the top cars of the year, and then by the end of the year, that very same blog will tell you why those same cars were the worst cars of the year. Cars, like most material things in life, do what most material things do. They do not last. It's a poor investment. But Jesus tells us that treasure used for God's glory is invested in the kingdom where it will last eternally. It has been said, and I quote, the way people use wealth is an indication of the condition of their hearts, end quote. And isn't that true? If we spend our time and our money only on business and in our personal need and then neglect God, then our hearts are in our business and our own personal need and are not fixed on God. Now, on a side note here, I want to just pause. It's a short rabbit trail, but it's going to tie in very nicely with where we are today about making investments that will have eternal and lasting rewards. And we look to the life of Abraham and his nephew Lot. We read of their story, but we read specifically of a story in Genesis 13, 5 through 18. And it's an illustration we see that speaks to us about the kind of sight Abraham had and the kind of sight Lot had. What I mean to say is this: Abraham, when he lived in Ur, was visited by a revelation, by hearing God's voice, visited by God himself, given a promise and a covenant. And it says that Abraham went in search of the city whose builder and maker is God. And yet there's no possible way, living from Ur or from the outer regions in Haran, or even when he went to Egypt, that he could ever visually, naturally see this city, this place of dwelling and promise. Yet he did see it, because he was a person whose heart he saw through the heart and the spirit that had received a revelation of the Lord. He was what the Bible calls single-eyed, which meant that his eyes were set on the things that were spiritual before they were set on the things that were material. But in contrast was Lot. Because Lot, when his workers and his descendants were arguing with Abraham's workers and descendants, they had to divide up their way. And Abraham gave Lot the choice of where he wanted to settle. And Lot's eyes went to the fruited plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and those surrounding cities. And we know that that was for business well, but for his spiritual welfare poor in an investment. In fact, he leaves there with just his life, losing virtually everything else. James, in James 1, 4 and 4, 4 and 8, says that a person who is minded like that is a person who is double-minded, which is just the opposite of being simple. In fact, it means that they have a sinful outlook, a double vision in verse 24. And Jesus clearly warns that you cannot look in two different directions at one time. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot live for God and material wealth. Look, the Bible is clear that it does not condemn. It does not condemn possession of wealth, but it does warn against the love of money and the wrong use of wealth. Just look at Timothy, Hebrews, and Luke for those warnings. So now, right now, you might be asking, Pastor Joshua, how in the world does all of this about investments that have long-lasting returns relate to embracing the Holy Spirit? I mean, great message on talking about investments. I get it in Jesus. But what if you said this is about embracing the Holy Spirit? And to understand this, we need to return back to the Apostle Peter, who at this time is still the disciple Peter. Because we are those who, like Peter, need to be investing in all the right benefits, reaping all the returns that we hope to live in our life today. Now, by the time we first met Peter, he was the man who had been the recipient of the miracle catch. Again, a catch because he believed and obeyed, even though he may have had a little bit of the sarcastic doubt, as we saw last week. But be that as it may, he is a man who has now received the miracle catch that almost busted his nets and almost sank his boats. And he's now following Jesus for the remainder of this ministry. He is Jesus' disciple. And he's already learned a lot, and yet there's going to be more he's going to learn. But he is also committed to the disciple's life with Jesus. And it is remarkable what that commitment has brought him to. You see, after Jesus had shared, and this brings us to the verse we read at the beginning of our teaching, he shared this teaching about that he, Jesus, was the bread of life and what that meant. In fact, what he then turns to them and says, hey, is this a tough teaching for you to swallow? You know, I often marvel at how many people like to repackage Jesus as being soft and demure and very sensitive, maybe a little bit too sensitive, and not wanting to hurt anyone's feelings. But you know, when Jesus wanted to get a point across, he knew exactly what to say to strike right at the hearts. Now, sometimes we read, he had compassion in some areas. He spoke in parables in others. Sometimes he threw out a riddle to kind of confound the wise. And sometimes he just got right to the point, the heart of the matter. So he tells his disciples, which there were more than 12 at this time, about this bread of life teaching. And at that moment, he says, this teaching is tough for you to swallow. It's out of the book of John, by the way. And then Jesus sensed, the scripture tells us, that his disciples are having a hard time with this. And he said, does this throw you completely? What would happen if you saw the Son of Man ascending to where he came from? Now let's key in on this verse right here. The Spirit can make life. Sheer muscle and willpower don't make anything. Every word I've spoken to you is Spirit word. And so it has life making in it. But some of you are resisting. You're refusing to have any part of this. Jesus knew from the start there would be some who were not going to risk themselves with him. And he knew there would also be those who would betray him. And so he went on to say, this is why I told you earlier that no one is capable of coming to me on his own. You can only get there as a gift from the Father. And after this, a lot of disciples left. They no longer wanted to be associated with him. And then Jesus gave the 12 their chance. Do you also want to leave? And Peter replied, Master, to whom would we go? You have offered the words of real life, eternal life. We've already committed ourselves, confident that you are the Holy One of God. Look, let me go back into the scripture for one moment. I've met a lot of people, and to be honest, I would include myself in this list, that have tried to overcome sin and a sin nature by sheer willpower and determination, and I have failed, and they have failed every time. Oh, no, Pastor Joshua, you can't say they failed. How do you know? Because the words of Christ said that sheer muscle and willpower, don't make anything happen. The sin nature, though it may manifest itself in our natural world, like an addiction or a lifestyle choice that is destructive, well, that is a natural manifestation that we see. It is a spiritual battle, and willpower and muscle will never overcome a spiritual battle. That is why Jesus said, every word that I've spoken to you is Spirit word, and therefore it is life making. It is the Spirit of God. Let me cue in here. It is the Holy Spirit that will embrace, if you will embrace him, he will embrace you and he will give you the ability to live life over death. You will have victory over bondages. You have victory over addictions. You will have victory over the curse of sin and death. And this is why Jesus said, you need to stop sitting here thinking that you, some other way, you can get around me. I'm the only one. And I'll tell you, you can only get to this revelation as a gift from the Father. But that comes to you from a revelation of the Spirit. And it was a hard message. It was a hard message. And then he turns to those 12. Now, what I think is interesting here is Peter replies, we already read that Jesus knew there would be those who would betray him. Now we know Judas was the betrayer. So if you take Peter out and you take Judas out, the other 10 are sitting there struggling. Let me encourage you for a moment. When Jesus calls you out on something, when Jesus puts you on the front line and asks you to stand, he knows you're struggling, and that's okay to struggle. It's okay not to be quick to have to answer. I admire Peter for being quick to answer, but Jesus knows that we struggle with that. It doesn't change the fact that Jesus has still asked the question and Jesus is still waiting for the answer. He's waiting for you to answer. But Peter does answer. And in effect, Peter replies to the Lord by saying, and I quote, "We cannot deny that what you have just said to us about being the bread of life is staggering." One commentarian says that perhaps Peter is actually in these words saying that Jesus, if he had said it a little less hard, maybe not everyone would have walked away. I think it's a little bit of a liberty and license. Nevertheless, it's possible that that was part of what he was thinking. Yet, here is what Peter does say. He said, I have a question, Lord. You asked me, will I walk away? And I have a question. Where would I go? Where would I go? Because when you came to my life, my light returned and my heart and our hearts were reassured. You see, at a certain point, friends, you are faced with the reality of your current investment portfolio. Your material and your spiritual will be confronted with the reality of continuing to walk with Jesus as his disciple, or just bailing out on Jesus, or going back to an old familiar way of living. You see, many try to straddle the fence as long as possible, betting on the perfect day or the right time. But like my past investment, the bottom of this world will always fall out. And it always falls out when you're least ready and expecting. You see, while the faithful 11 were struggling, many already walked away. But a single one in Peter positioned himself to ask the question, where will I go? So if you're writing down some questions here, I want you to write down these questions and I want you to put yourself in the questions. It's four short questions. And at the end of today's teaching, we're going to answer them. The first question that you're hearing from Jesus is this. To whom will you go? The second question is, will you go back to a lifeless and Holy Spirit-less world of formalisms and traditions? Number three, will you return to the gods and the lords of the world around you? And number four, will you just live your life surrendering to unbelief and doubt? You see, Peter was able to step forward because he had received a revelation given to him by the Father through the Son, and he embraced it, and so he was able to speak while others struggled, some abandoned, and one betrayed. Now, there's one other little passage here that's very important to look at. It's another section out of the life of Peter. And it's when the disciples and Jesus were at Caesarea Philippi. And, excuse me. And when, just to kind of give yourself an idea, Caesarea Philippi was kind of like a lazy stretch of the region. Not a lot of things were going on in Caesarea Philippi. It was quiet. It was off the beaten path. And, you know, after a lot of time in ministry, Jesus takes his 12 disciples there. It's kind of like a pastor retreat with his close leaders. And while they're there, the conversation is going on about all the things going that have happened in the past month. I kind of imagine it myself when you read the scripture. They're probably talking about the miracles that they saw. They're probably talking about the people who believed. They're talking about the people that got mad. They're talking about the near misses and the near escapes and all those things. And then one of them replies, here's Jesus, ask them, who do they say I am? And Peter, again, comes to the front. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back and answered, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer from books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on a secret. A mystery is a word that's used there as well, of who I really am. In fact, Peter's words are really words of adoration. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. They're words of worship. And Jesus' reply is, blessed are you, because the fruit of human teaching could not give unto you what my Father from heaven gave you. You see, without revelation and a witness of the Spirit, the right confession about Jesus is impossible. I want to say that again. Without revelation of the Father, Matthew 11:27, and without the witness of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:3, a right confession about Jesus is impossible. You need to embrace the fullness of the Father, Son, and Spirit. Christ said of himself, he is the rock. That points directly to Isaiah 28:16. Peter said he was the rock. Paul names Christ the rock. Christ is the head of the church. Throughout the entire Old Testament, the rock speaks of God and not man. And Jesus was clear in where the foundation and the cornerstone were, and it was in him. By the revelation of the Father and of the Spirit, Peter understood Jesus as the Lord and basically said, "Lord, we are shut up with you. No other treasures can we invest in that will give us the eternal, long-lasting return of investment that is eternal life unless we put it all with you." One translator said that Peter's words boldly declare, and I quote, "The life, Jesus, that you speak of is a life I cannot want. It's a life that we have been learning from you to crave. And it's the necessity that we must have a deeper nature and must be awakened by your Spirit. And once you have awakened me, you then will have the authority to do so in my life, and you will do it and reveal it to others. You alone have the power to confer it. Therefore, we will stay with you. We must." You see, these two chapters in Peter's life are the powerful initial steps to living the life that is open and embracing the Holy Spirit. It is not accidental when the promise of the Holy Spirit poured out at Pentecost, it was Peter who spoke with deep devotion and revelation that led thousands to being saved and baptized. We all spend time investing in something, the material. Jesus warns us wants us to invest in the eternal. We, like Peter and many disciples after him, have also been asked the tough questions if we will follow Jesus. And today Jesus is asking, will you invest in him? Will you invest in his kingdom? And will you embrace your life to position it to receive the revelation that unlocks the eternal truth and settles once and for all the purpose, destiny, and calling for mankind? This is the investment that continues to build and have long-lasting and eternal rewards. And it's why Jesus says that the eyes are windows into your body. And if you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. And if you live squinty-eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a dank cellar. If you pull the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you have. If you open up your eyes and allow the Spirit to fill you, you will be filled with the Spirit, filled with light. But if you close yourself off to the Spirit, you're going to walk in darkness. You're going to miss the revelation. You're going to have this dark understanding. And that's what threw people completely. What would happen if the Son of Man was ascending? What would happen if you saw that but didn't have revelation and kept your eyes closed? You see, it's the Spirit that makes life. That sheer muscle and willpower will not make anything. And yet every word he has spoken to you is a Spirit word. It is life-making. But some are resisting and refusing to have any part in this. You see, if we seek to live the satisfied life led by the hand of the Lord, walking in providence and provision, it is also a life that has the King and the Kingdom as its priority, participating fully by embracing Him and the Holy Spirit today. So in conclusion, I ask us four questions that we're going to now answer. To whom will you go? Yes, God the Father. Yes, Jesus. Yes, the Word. But position your life to embrace the Holy Spirit so you understand the fullness of the Father, Son, and Spirit, and the fullness of the Word from the very first in the beginning to the last. Amen. The second question. Will you go back to a lifeless and Holy Spirit-less formalism and tradition? I pray not. Because if you do, you will miss revelation and get religion. And the purpose that you have been called to walk in is a purpose that Jesus has spoken into your life. And when the tough gets tougher to handle or more difficult to handle. It will not be formalism and tradition and religion that will help you overcome, but it will be the Spirit and the Spirit of God alone that will allow you to overcome and walk with purpose and revelation. Will you turn to the gods and the many lords of the world around you? No. That is a flesh nature that we cannot ever afford to go back to, because the flesh nature can reveal nothing to you that has lasting value. In fact, the flesh nature are the moths and the rust and the robbers that will steal from you your hope and your desire that you have to ever really attain lasting change and live in power and authority. Lastly, will you just surrender to unbelief and doubt? Honestly, church, I struggle with unbelief and doubt. So I've had to answer this question by faith, no. You may not understand it all. Peter certainly didn't. You may make mistakes along the way. Peter certainly did. But if you stay close to Jesus and hunger for a revelation of the Holy Spirit, you will have trust and belief, because you will live the life and the power and the authority that will enable you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You will lay hands on the deaf, and I mean that spiritually and physically, and they will once again hear. Lame will walk. Blind will see, and the chains that have held people in bondage will be broken, and they will be set free. And they and you will have the chance to live the life of victory, even in the day of trial and in the day of storms. You will be the overcomer to the end, and the Lord will use you mightily for His plans and His purposes. Yes, your investment is in Him, and it will pay the lasting dividends, the eternal reward, and the satisfied life for today. And I, for one, am ready for that kind of investment portfolio. What about you? Amen. Let's close in prayer. Now, Heavenly Father, this is a heavy word. It's a deep word. It's a strong word, but it's a word of such freedom, such liberty, such hope. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you reveal yourself mightily to the men and women in this room, to all ages, and that they leave here today renewed in their strength with a new expectation of who you are and what you are doing in their life right now. And Lord, we right now together agree to position our life to embrace Your Holy Spirit. We want a revelation of Your Word. We want to know who You are. We want to be led by Your Spirit. We want to walk in the fullness and the understanding of what You have done, what You are doing, and what You will continue to do. And we ask now today that this is the day we all leave here changed. In the name of Jesus.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyan was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.